Let's all get into the Word of God. Open up your Bibles and let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're getting into the place where the disciples, Jesus has ascended. They're headed back to the upper room, you know, and somebody that wants to go ahead and replace Judas because he's done something. They need to have a 12th apostle. It's where they mess up, really, because they chose Matthias and Paul was the 12th apostle. But let's just read here on verse 23, because they drew straws, basically. They cast lots, and it says, "And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk to you about is Judas. I want you to notice what it says about Judas. It says he fell by transgression that he might go to his own place. He might go to his own place. So I want to talk to you today about, have you chosen your place? Have you chosen your place? You know, let me ask you, do you know where your place is? Should you leave this earth? And Judas died. Judas hanged himself. He killed himself. And it said he went to his own place. When you leave this earth, do you know where your place is going to be? Do you know where your place is? You see, you ought to be able to say amen. Every person in here ought to be able to say amen. I know my place. If you're saved, you know where your place is. If you're lost, you know where your place is. Now, here's the thing about your place is that you get to choose. Amen. You get to choose. Listen, Judas made a choice. He was walking with Jesus, and then he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He had an opportunity to choose where his place would be. And he chose to reject Jesus Christ. He chose to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now later, he went back, you know, and he throwed the silver down, but they wouldn't receive it because they said it was blood money, which is exactly what it was. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I want you to think about this today. Right now, you can choose where your place is going to be. When you leave this, right now, you can choose. Think about that. As long as you've got breath in your body, you can choose. Think about that. Once the breath leaves, once you can't do anything, then you're stuck where you're at. The Bible talks about the fact that, you know, when a tree falls there, that's where it's going to lie. When you die, whatever condition you're in when you die, that's going to determine where your place is. If you die in the Lord, then heaven is where your place will be. But if you die without the Lord, then hell is where your place will be. Amen. I'm not preaching a Christmas message this morning, but I am preaching good news. Because I'm telling you right now, you can choose heaven. Today, right now, whether there's breath in your body, you can choose heaven. It's up to you. You have to make that choice. I know the world has all kinds of things to offer, but you can choose. And I want to bear on that just a little bit. Go with me over to Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24. Now, some of these are going to be familiar verses, but I wanted just to make the point to show you. Judas chose, and you get to choose. Here, I'm going to show you in Joshua 24. He tells them, you can choose. 24:14. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your father, which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Notice this. Joshua tells him, he says, you get the opportunity. You can choose. You can serve the gods that you served in Egypt. You can serve the God your father served. You can serve whoever you want to. But you got to choose one or the other. See, it seems like that a lot of folks want to try to straddle a fence, but there is no fence. I've heard it many times, you know, well, they're straddling the fence. No, there's not straddling the fence. There's either living for the Lord or not living for the Lord. Now, that doesn't make us perfect. Okay, if we're living for the Lord, we'll make mistakes. We're fallible humans, but thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we sin and confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Christians are not perfect. We make mistakes, but we are saved. And we know where our place is. And we also know that if we make a mistake, we ask God to forgive us, and He forgives us. Isn't that good news? So see, when I choose to serve the Lord, I know I'm going to make mistakes because that's just part of humanity. But I also know that God made provision in His Word for me when I make mistakes. Amen. Now here's the thing about God. When you give your life to Him, when you choose the Lord Jesus Christ, the minute you choose, the inside of you is changed. You get born again. The outside of you is still going to take some work. Your fleshly part. Okay? I mean, you know, there's things about you that it may take you a while to get sanctified. Right? Come on, somebody. See, because you've got to change the way you think. You've got to do that. You've got to change the way you talk. And you've got to change the way you act. Now you say, well, if I'm born again, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to be just, that's what I'm going. Listen, the inside got born again. The Holy Ghost is now living in you. And He will prompt you. He will talk to you. You'll hear that still smaller voice. But again, it will be up to you whether you obey Him or not. He'll tell you, don't do that or do that. It's up to you whether you do or don't. Now, there's times that we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We mess up. And then again, the provision is there. Thank God for His grace. God's grace is there. When I mess up, I have the grace of God, but I also have the good common sense and the Word of God to tell me to repent. Ask God to forgive me and get it made right. Amen. You see, a lot of folks live in fear and they're so afraid. You know, you have both extremes. You have the once in grace folks that believe that if you get saved, you can never sin again. So you can never do anything wrong again, and no matter what, you're going to go to heaven. You know, I can't back that up from the Word of God. I can find scriptures that talks toward it, but at the same time, if you view it and see it for what it is, you know, when it talks about no man plucking you out of God's hand, that's a fact. That's what the Bible says. There ain't nobody can cause you to go to hell. But you can choose to turn and walk away from God. See, that's the problem. It's not a God problem, it's a person problem, just like it is with us right now. It's a sin problem. It's actually not a sin problem. Well, I guess it would be considered a sin problem, but the problem is we've not accepted Jesus yet, because Jesus really has done away with the sin problem. He's already paid all the price for sin. He's already done everything that's got to be done about sin. But in order for the sin to leave your life, you have to accept Jesus. Okay? So we need to understand that we have to accept Jesus, and then we have to make the choices to do what we're going to do. Now, before I got born again, I'm not going to lie to you, I had a temper. I don't know if any of you have, I don't know what it's like to have a temper or not, but I had a temper. Okay? I would get mad, and you know, my thing is, you know, I'd always want to hit something, not somebody now. Okay. Now, I won't lie to you. Back in Pastorette and I's younger days when we were first married, I was, you know, I won't tell you that I was living where I'm living at now. Okay. Now, I loved her so much, and she would note every button to push on me. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? you know the buttons to push. And she would push every button sometimes. And I'd be so mad. I can remember this, and that's how you know it was wrong. I can remember picking up a chair she was in and shaking the chair. But it was relieving that pressure, you know. I mean, because I wouldn't have touched her for the world, you know. But I'm just saying that kind of, I mean, I know what it's like to have that kind of temper, you know. But after I truly was born again and truly living for the Lord Jesus and truly allowing the Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out, that began to change. Now, I still have to be careful and not let the old man rise up. I still have to be careful. For a long time, I left a door up in my house that had a hole in it. See y'all looking at me funny. I know you all perfect. I know you all never have any squabbles. You never get mad. You all live right at the foot of the cross all the time. But I'm just telling you off on me because I won't get mad at me. I'm telling you the truth just to show you that we're all human. But I'm talking about even after I was a preacher, I left that up there. It was a reminder of me how stupid I was and how I allowed my flesh to get out of control. And it cost me. Really. I mean, you know, we had up a Luon door. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? The Luon door. They're thin. I mean, you could take your thumb about push through them. But I got mad one day and just tipped that thing. I didn't mean to put a hole in it, but I did. It busted. There it was. Now, that cost me because when I had to replace that, Pastorette made me replace every door in the house with solid wood oak doors. I don't hit those things. That was years and years ago, okay? Just so y'all know, my pastor. But, you know, I had to repent and ask God to forgive me, and I asked Annette to forgive me. Amen. I had to ask my wife to forgive me because I lost my temper, and I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, here's the thing. When I asked God to forgive me, she forgave me, okay? She's never, I won't say she's never brought it up, maybe a time or two when she really wanted to, you know. But most of the time, she never. But God never brought it back up to me again once I asked Him, and that's what matters. Okay? But the reason I'm showing you that is you may have a temper, and you may think, well, I'm my temper, I just don't know what I do about that. Let God work on that. Now, Pastor sometimes look at me and she'll say, don't you ever get mad at nothing? And I'll say, well, yeah, I get mad, but what can I do, or what should I do? What you want me to do, sometimes I've said, you know. And she'll say, well, I would have done that. And I said, well, would you really have done that, or are you just talking now because you're aggravated too? You see, it's one thing to have the thoughts. It's another thing to act on the thoughts. You know, and that's the one thing I believe God has brought me to that place. It's not that sometimes I still don't get angry. It's just that God has given me the peace to just not act on that anger. Amen. You know, some of this junk that's went on, you know, in the past year, talking about y'all, talking about the church, talking about me and all that stuff, that really raised my blood pressure. That really got to me. But, you know, you had choices. You either had to be like Jesus or be like them. And so you have to choose to be like Jesus and just tell your flesh to shut up. Because you know your flesh wants to it wants to shoot out there and latch. But see, that what Jesus said about that was this. You're casting your pearls before the swine. And He said, when you do that, the swine will turn and rend you. So I'm saying all this just to tell you that just because you get born again, it doesn't make you perfect. But you'll have to choose to get born again. And then you have to choose the right choices and choose the things that will help you grow in Christ and stay away from the world. Won't happen immediately. You may let a word or two slip. Come on, look! Don't look at me so funny. Some of you have done it, and you're just like, well, where'd that come from? You know, and I mean, right? Come on now. Let's be real about it. And then, you know, of course, if you never cursed before or whatever, and maybe you've never had that, but for some of us that used to, you know, you have to, and then we could test you out if you want to. We could go out there and get us a hammer and come in here and let you stick your thumb out there and... Because something like that's usually when something will shoot out. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to say we're not perfect, okay? And I want everybody to understand that. If you're here and you're lost, you get saved, you're not going to be perfect. Yeah, I mean, matter of fact, once you get saved, the enemy comes at you hard. And he'll try to tell you you're not saved, you're just making it up, you're just doing that, you're just doing it because so-and-so wants you to, whatever. You know, he's a liar and the father of lies. You can choose whether or not you serve the Lord Jesus. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Now see, I like that because what's happening here is Joshua is the head of his house. Husbands, you're the head of your house. Wives, you stand right there beside him. You two are one flesh. But husbands, it's a proven fact that most of the time the house goes the way the head goes. It got real quiet. Well, I mean, my body can't go nowhere without my head, right? Most of the time, it's the leader in the house. You say, well, I know a lot of women saved and their husbands is not. But you've got to understand something, husbands. They're waiting on you to get saved. They're waiting on you to give your life to the Lord. Are you going to just sit there and not be a leader to them? Are you going to keep on leading them away from Christ till they finally give up and quit? I've seen it happen. I've seen wives that were faithful in church, and because the husband never would come to church, never would get saved, finally the wife would quit, and now they're both going to hell. I'm just being blunt today. Is that all right? You see, husbands, and can I just say something else to you while you're here? 86% of people will come to church if you ask them. 86%. You want to see more people get saved? Let's ask them and tell them, listen, you got a choice. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus loves you enough that He gave His life for you so that you can choose this day whom you'll serve. Let me show you another one over here in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 26, Moses has come down off the mountain. Remember, they're having a party down there. Moses is up there. They make the molten calf, and Moses comes down and off the mountain. He's very angry. He's wanting to kill them all, and God wanted to kill them all, and He interceded for them. But when he gets down through there, chapter 32, it said, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, and understand why he's saying this. You've got the whole crowd here that's worshiping a false god, and he's been leading them toward God. God's been leading them all along, and all of a sudden now they're worshiping a golden calf. He looks at them and he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? So you have to choose sides. Did you hear what I said? You have to choose sides. And you say, no, I'm not making a choice right now. You just made one. You choose. Here's the thing about it. There's only two sides. There's the side of the Lord, and there's the side of the devil. I'm trying to be as plain as I know how to be without, you know, just sounding really rude about the thing. But it matters whose side you're on. If you're on the Lord's side, I can count on His grace. I can count on His mercy. I can count on His healing. I can count on His prosperity. I can count on His blessing. But if I'm not on His side, I can't count on those things. All I can do is count on what the devil's got. What's the devil got? Steal, kill, destroy. And you know, folks will say, well, you know, I don't serve the devil. Now, I'll have you know, Pastor, I do not worship the devil. No, I didn't say you worship. I said you're on their side. That's a hard concept for folks to get a hold of, is the fact that because you're not on the right side, that puts you on the wrong side. See, you've got to get this across to people. You know, and it's hard to do that. I mean, it's hard in the church to get people to understand that. But it's hard in the world also to get that, you know. I mean, I'm just going to tell off on me, and I'm not getting political, but I just want to show you this, okay. All my life I was a Democrat. And back when the younger days, it that was the party to be part of. They were for the poor people. They were doing things, and things were good. But as time progressed, and I got into the Word, and I saw things that was going on there, I thought, you know, they're not doing what the Bible says, and so I don't believe that. And so, but I still went for a long time, and I just never voted that way because I didn't vote for the things that I knew God was against. But I justified to myself, well, I don't vote for those things. But then I got to thinking about it one day, and I thought, I'm still on their side. And they're going against everything I believe in. They're going against everything that God says. And so, you know, in my own, now you do what, I'm not trying to get you to do it. I'm just telling you where I was at. I had to make up my mind. I thought, well, I refuse to be on the side that's against God. So I went and changed sides. Now, I don't know how my daddy would have felt about it. Don't care. Because I wanted how he felt about it for me. Okay. But, you know, and that's how we justify things sometimes. You know, we'll justify the fact that, well, you know, I don't serve the devil. I just ain't made the Lord my Lord yet. So you got to decide whose side you're on. Am I on the side of the Lord or am I on the side of an enemy? You get to choose that. You get to choose. Nobody else can choose it for you. You have to decide that. You know. So I made up my mind about the Lord. I made my mind up about the natural thing. And you have to do the same thing. But the wonderful thing about the Lord is He allows you to choose. And you know what's so strange in what we just read? Here they are. They've watched again. They've watched the cloud lead them by day. And they watched the pillar of fire lead them by night. And once Moses was out of the picture, they made them a golden calf and called that God. Now, you know the golden calf could not make a cloud fall lead them or a pillar of fire in the sky. But they went right back to that. And when Moses comes down, grinds it into dust, makes them drink the thing. He looks at it and says, who's on the Lord's side here? Do you know some of them did not come over to Moses' side? Some of them still chose to be on the side of the golden calf of a dummy god that they just watched Aaron make with his hands. Think about that for a minute. They knew better, but they were, for some reason, would not decide, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to let God be my God. This calf's not going to be my God. You see, we've got to make the same decision. I'm going to let God be my God. I'm not going to let this world be my God. Whose side am I on? I'm on the side of God. I'm on the side of Jesus. Come on, church. See, that's whose side you're on if you're a born-again child of God. And here's the thing about it. Once again, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. But the thing about it, I'm going to get on the right side. I'd rather ask for forgiveness than to know I just won't give in to Jesus when I know better. All of us know better. I don't believe you'd be here today if you didn't know better. Right? So God gives us the invitation. And again, if you're here, God's drawing you. Because a lot of people say, well, now, brother, you can't get saved unless God's drawing you. You wouldn't even think about going to church if God wasn't drawing you right now. You wouldn't be here right now if God wasn't dealing with you. So He's giving you an invitation right now. But you have to accept and make that decision to accept Him. Okay? Now, in John 6:66, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to keep you a long time, but Jesus is preaching there to the whole crowd, and He's talking about, they're asking Him about different things, and Jesus starts preaching then about Him being the bread of life. And He starts talking about how, you know, I'm the bread of life, and he that eateth of me, you know, he'll never hunger. And he's going down, and He's using it as a metaphor. But the people are taking Him literally. And so they get on down there. And even the disciples looks at Him and says, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? You see, they were so spiritually dense, they couldn't understand that He was giving them a parable to show them what was getting ready to happen. So the Bible says They went away from Him. They walked away from Him and didn't follow Him. They made a choice because of what He said to walk away from Him. Now, Jesus turns around immediately to the 12 and He says, are you going to go also? I mean, He's given them an opportunity. You want to go? But thank God, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And we believe that You're the Son of God. See, if you believe He's the Son of God, why would you want to go anywhere else except to Jesus? Why would you even think about staying in the world when you know that Jesus has the words of life and He's the only one that does? There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. You can either choose Jesus and choose heaven. The Bible describes, just a little bit, that it's a place with streets of gold. The gates are pearl. Walls of jasper. There's no sun because Jesus Christ is the sun. Think about this. There's a river of life there. I mean, it's so wonderful that it can't be described with words. That's heaven. Now, Jesus tells it over in John chapter 14. Remember what He says to the disciples? They're talking to Him about, you know, where He's at. And he says, I'm going away to prepare. But actually, first He says, in My Father's house, there's many mansions. And sometimes folks take that as everybody's going to have a mansion. But that's really not what He says. Now, we may all have mansions. I don't know. But I do know He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. But then He says, behold, I go away to prepare a place for you. A place for you. That where I am, you can be also. See, Jesus is preparing a place for every born-again child of God. A place, remember? You know where your place is at? My place is going to be where Jesus has prepared it for me. Is it going to be a mansion? I don't know. And as long as I'm with Jesus, I don't care. You know, I mean, it's just that plain. But that's what heaven's going to be. But the Bible also says that there's a hell. Because if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. If there's a hell, there has to be a heaven. And the Bible describes hell as a place of outer darkness. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It describes it as a place where the worm, W-O-R-M, dieth not. The worm dieth not. And the fire is never quenched. I mean, think about a place like that. And you get to choose heaven and the streets of gold, or hell and the worms that never die and the fire that never dies. And the weeping and the wailing of gnashing of teeth. You get to choose. It's your choice. And you can choose that right now. Isn't that the wonderful thing? God lets us choose right now. Whether to go to heaven or go to hell. Now, when I start thinking about that, I thought, you know, it should be a no-brainer for us. But we in our humanity, for some reason, I don't know if it's stubbornness in us. Because most people that I know that have been saved, after they get saved, they're like, I don't understand why I ever waited so long. Right? Come on, y'all remember thinking about that? You know, why in the world didn't I just go ahead and get saved? I should have got saved when I was young. Especially now that with the word that we know, you know, a lot of times when folks were younger, they, you know, you didn't really get to hear about the benefits of being saved. You just knew you didn't have to go to hell. Well, thank God you don't have to go to hell. But see, there's all the benefits too now we've learned about from the Word of God. Right? Forget not all His benefits. He redeemeth you, right? All that's available to us when we make the decision to say yes to Jesus. We get to shun hell, we gain heaven, and we get Jesus in our life, watching over us, taking care of us, blessing us, and all the promises of God then become to you yes and amen. Because you are now a child of the kingdom, one of God's children. So you have to make that choice. You have to make this choice. God says over in Deuteronomy, He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, He says, that you and your children can live. Choose life. I'm giving you a choice, but here's a little hint. The best choice is life. My choice for you is life. And when you choose life, you and your children can live. You'll be an example to them. Will you stand to your feet with me? Right now, I want to ask you, will you choose your place right now? Will you make Jesus Lord of your life? Whether you've never been saved, or maybe you're that one of those that are straddling the fence thinking everything's all right. There's not a fence. You're either living for Jesus or you're not living for Jesus. This altar's open right now. I ask you to come. Make Jesus Lord of your life right now. Choose today who's on the Lord's side. Choose today who you'll serve right now. Right now, just step out. Come on up here. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to give one more invitation. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you just instilled